Have you ever typed something like, should I buy NVDA stock into your AI agent?
Oh, I mean, everybody has done that at least once.
Right. And the interface just churns for a second, and then it spits back this like highly coherent, very confident sounding list.
Yeah, it always sounds so authoritative.
Exactly. You get your bullet points on, AI chip demand and your bear points on valuation, and it usually wraps up with that super cautious paragraph about how, well, the stock could be a good fit for a diversified portfolio.
It looks so much like real, actionable research.
Here's the harsh truth that we are really going to explore in today's deep dive. That answer is nearly useless.
I actually argue it's worse than useless because, well, it gives you this illusion of certainty. When you ask a generic question like that, you are basically letting a GPS drive your car without telling it your actual destination.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, it's just going to confidently drive you to the nearest, most popular default landmark. You don't know the assumptions that recommendation rests on, so you simply haven't earned the right to trust it.
So today, we're unpacking a really foundational framework from the AI Native Investor curriculum. We're going to look at why you need to stop treating your AI like a magic eight ball and start mastering what they call the casting call.
Right, the casting call. It's a total paradigm shift.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's based on this realization that your AI agent isn't just a single oracle. It's actually a room containing four highly specialized, distinct roles. And the way you frame your request determines exactly who steps up to the whiteboard.
And if you don't specify the role you need, the system just defaults to a sort of generalized average of all of them, which is dangerous. But to understand why, we really have to look at why that initial question, asking if you should buy a specific stock, is structurally broken in the first place.
Yeah, let's unpack that because it seems like it comes down to three massive flaws. First, it just completely lacks criteria.
Exactly. I mean, are you buying it to hold for 10 years or are you trying to flip it next week? Are you buying it at any price or are you waiting for a dip?
The agent doesn't know any of that. So it just fills in the blanks with the most average, generic assumptions possible.
Right. And the second flaw is that it collapses an entire professional workflow into a single step. Real investment decisions require discovery, stress testing, learning, and then execution.
You can't just skip to the end.
No, you can't. When you ask, should I buy, you're demanding the final deliverable on day one, before you even define what success looks like for your specific portfolio.
Which trains you to do the most dangerous thing of all, which is outsourcing your judgment. You're treating a computational tool like an oracle.
And sure, it absorbs your responsibility mentally, but it doesn't actually reduce your financial risk when the market inevitably turns.
Right. So if we stop treating the AI like an oracle, we have to start managing it like a team. Let's say I want to dig into that semiconductor stock, but this time I just ask the AI to, say, pull the last four quarters of free cash flow and compare the gross margins against its top three competitors.
Okay, so by asking for verifiable data like that, you have just activated the first role, which is the analyst.
The analyst.
Yeah, the analyst is essentially a world-class researcher. It is incredibly powerful at information aggregation and data compression.
Stuff that used to take forever.
Oh, absolutely. Tasks that used to require a junior banker to spend 6 hours buried in SEC filings can now be executed in seconds. It can scan a massive 10K document and instantly identify like new risk factors that management buried on page 40, which weren't even in last year's filing.
Wow. I mean, that sounds like exactly what I want. If it can pull margins, flag risk factors, and compress data that quickly, why wouldn't I just use the analyst for my entire research process?
Because the analyst has a fatal structural flaw.
Uh-oh. What is it?
Consensus bias. You have to remember, these large language models are trained on massive data sets scraped from the internet.
Right. They read everything.
Everything. And in the financial realm, that corpus is completely dominated by consensus views from financial commentary, equity reports, popular blogs, you name it. The consensus is the water the fish swings in.
So it's just repeating the crowd.
Exactly. The analyst summarizes the average view because mathematically, the average view is what it has seen the most during training.
Which means if I tell it, hey, give me a highly contrarian, outside-the-box take on this semiconductor company, I'm not actually getting a unique thought at all.
Not at all.
I'm just getting the most statistically popular contrarian take that already exists on the internet.
Yes, you cannot prompt your way out of that core architecture. Asking the analyst to make your final investment decision is, well, it's like asking a research librarian who you should marry.
Oh, I love that analogy. It makes so much sense.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the librarian is amazing at their job, right? They can pull background checks, verify credit scores, find employment history in 5 minutes.
They have all the data.
Right. But if you ask them to make the final call on your life partner based on just that paperwork, you are making a catastrophic mistake.
Exactly. Running your entire investment process with just the analyst is like managing a project team where every single person is dedicated to basic research, but nobody does any quality assurance.
And nobody pushes back on your fundamental assumptions.
Right. Nobody challenges you.
Wait, so if the AI is structurally biased to just feed me the most popular opinion, I'm kind of stuck. I mean, you can't build a strong investment thesis by just agreeing with the crowd. How do I force a system that's literally designed to please me and predict consensus to actually tear my ideas apart?
Well, you have to explicitly change the rules of engagement. You have to force the system into a strict adversarial posture. And this is where you activate the second specialist in the room, the red team.
The red team. Sounds intense.
It is. Its sole purpose is to find the fatal weaknesses in your logic before the market takes your real money.
But I imagine I can't just casually say, what are the risks of buying this stock? Because that just gives me the analyst's
scan,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
It'll just print out a polite, bulleted list of generic market risks.
Right. Interest rates might go up, that kind of thing. To get the red team, you have to frame the prompt aggressively. You present your specific thesis and you assign a hostile persona.
How does that sound in practice?
You'd say something like, I believe this company will grow revenue at 15% annually for the next 5 years because of their new data center architecture. You are a ruthless short seller. Build the strongest possible case that my thesis will fail. Assume I am the mark.
Assume I am the mark. Wow. That is a brilliant way to instruct the AI to abandon its polite, helpful default and focus entirely on dismantling your logic.
Yeah, and the persona of a short seller isn't just flavor text either. It actually forces the model to search its training data for specific counter evidence. You don't want to hear that macroeconomic conditions might worsen.
Right, that's too vague.
You want surgical strikes. If your thesis relies on gross margin expansion, the red team should be attacking the specific input costs or supply chain vulnerabilities that would crush those exact margins.
Or you don't just read the critique and move on, right?
Yeah.
The AI native Nestor curriculum calls this the iterate until silence pattern.
Yes, the iterate until silence loop.
So you feed the AI your thesis, you let it brutally attack the logic, you revise your thesis to patch the holes it found, and then you feed it right back in for round two.
Exactly. You run that gauntlet 3 to 5 times. And eventually, the AI will stop finding structural flaws and will start recycling weak, generic objections.
Because you fixed all the real holes.
Right. When it reaches that point of silence, the thesis you are holding is materially stronger than the vague belief you started with.
But couldn't this backfire? I mean, if I program an AI to be a relentless pessimist, won't it just generate infinite hypothetical doom and gloom scenarios that paralyze me from ever actually pulling the trigger on a trade?
Well, that's why you anchor the red team prompt to your specific assumptions. You're demanding concrete counter-evidence rather than just general pessimism. However, you do hit a very real ceiling with the red team.
What kind of ceiling?
It will easily spot the logical flaws that a well-read generalist would find. What it completely lacks is unwritten sector expertise.
Mm-hmm. Unwritten expertise. Like the cultural dynamics inside a company. The AI might see that 5 executives just left and assume it's just normal turnover.
Right.
But a 10-year industry veteran knows those specific executives only leave when the underlying tech is fundamentally failing.
Exactly. Or, you know, maybe there's a regulatory change quietly brewing in a subcommittee that just hasn't generated enough news articles to influence the training data yet. The red team will cure your obvious blind spots, but it does not give you X-ray vision into the physical world.
Okay. Let's say I'm in that iterate until silence loop on this tech stock. The adversarial prompt attacks my assumption about the company's free cash flow conversion. And reading its attack, I suddenly realize, well, I don't actually know what causes the gap between operating cash flow and free cash flow in a hardware business.
You hit a wall.
Yeah, I'm stuck. I can't defend my thesis if I don't even comprehend the financial mechanics the AI is using to attack me.
And that is the exact moment you need to change the mandate. You aren't evaluating the company anymore. You are evaluating your own knowledge gaps. This activates the third role, the tutor.
The tutor.
Yes. You trigger this persona the second you hit jargon or logic you couldn't easily explain to a friend over dinner.
So instead of asking for a dictionary definition, I would prompt it with my specific confusion, like, the company's operating cash flow is $2 billion, but the free cash flow is only $400 million. Walk me through what causes this massive gap, why it matters, and how I should think about whether this is a structural red flag or just a normal feature of a hardware business.
Perfect. The output shifts from analyzing the stock to calibrating entirely to what you do not know. But the ultimate superpower of the tutor is this technique called the explain back loop.
The explain back loop. This sounds like a way to prevent that classic trap of reading a textbook, nodding your head, and then forgetting everything 10 minutes later.
Oh, it is. It's the single most effective learning technique you can run with an agent. Let's say you ask the tutor to explain how to calculate the terminal value in a discounted cash flow model. It gives you the breakdown. Then you explain the concept back to the agent in your own words, and you explicitly ask the agent to find the gap in your comprehension.
I really love this. So I'm not just passively reading, I am actively teaching it back to the AI. I might say, okay, terminal value is just the value of all cash flows after the forecast period, using a perpetual growth rate.
And the tutor will analyze your summary and say, mechanically, you are correct, but you missed why it practically matters. Terminal value usually makes up 60 to 80% of the entire valuation.
Oh, wow, that much.
Yeah. So the tutor would say, meaning that single perpetual growth rate number you pick drives almost everything. So what happens to your entire thesis if you change that growth rate by just 1%?
That follow-up question completely shifts the dynamic.
Yeah.
I'm suddenly sparring with a mentor who is forcing me to understand the sensitivity of the math, not just memorize the formula.
Exactly. It builds what Charlie Munger famously called a lattice work of mental models. The tutor is unparalleled at helping you construct the individual strands of that lattice. You know, the accounting, the strategy, the probability mechanics. But we do have to acknowledge what it cannot teach you.
Which is
intuitive pattern recognition.
Ah, the gut feeling. When an experienced investor looks at a balance sheet and instantly thinks something is structurally wrong with this working capital, even if all the formulas are technically correct.
Precisely. The tutor provides the vocabulary and the mechanics. The intuition, well, that only comes from reps, from applying those mechanics under the pressure of real uncertainty over and over again.
Okay, so I've used the tutor to understand the mechanics. I've used the analyst to gather the factual landscape. I've used the red team to brutally stress test my thesis.
You've done the heavy lifting.
Right, but hand cranking this process for 50 different companies sounds miserable. How do we actually scale this up?
When you are ready to scale, you bring in the fourth role, the executor. This role is designed to run stable, repeatable workflows. But, and this is key, it requires a strict judgment-free specification from you.
Judgment-free.
Yeah. You are no longer asking the system to think, you are commanding it to do.
I see. So I would give it really rigid parameters, something like pull the last 8 quarters of revenue, operating margin, and free cash flow for these 10 companies. Compute the year-over-year growth rates, flag any quarter where the margin compressed more than 200 basis points, and format the output into a table.
Spot on. It is the investment equivalent of a project status dashboard. It's brilliant for recurring monitor, like checking revenue growth against management's guidance every single quarter, or for screening a massive universe of stocks for, say, a minimum free cash flow yield.
That sounds incredibly efficient.
It is, but this is exactly where we see the biggest, most dangerous trap in the entire framework, the premature executor trap.
Oh man, I have absolutely fallen into this. Before I knew any better, I would read an article about value investing, log into an agent and say, give me a list of companies with low PE ratio and a high dividend.
Yep.
It instantly spits out 20 companies, and I'd start researching that list,
yeah,
completely blindly trusting the filter.
And you skip the sequence. When you run an executor screen, before you have used the tutor to truly understand the metrics, or before you've used the red team to challenge whether those metrics even matter for the current economic environment, you generate a list that feels like progress.
It totally feels like I've done deep work.
But it is actually highly structured noise. You are building the most expensive kind of confidence. Confidence backed by a sophisticated process you don't actually understand.
That is so true. If I actually nail this sequence, though, if I learn the concepts, gather the facts, stress the thesis, and scale the workflow without falling into that premature execution trap, it sounds like a foolproof system.
Mm.
But there has to be a physical limit to what this technology can do.
Oh, there absolutely is.
Where does the AI hit a brick wall and the human have to take over?
There are six specific limitations where the AI fundamentally breaks down. If you mistake the agent's output for any of these six things, you are going to lose real money. The first is narrative judgment. Warren Buffett frequently talks about the absolute necessity of investing in honest and able management.
Right. And honesty is not a gap accounting metric you can pull from a spreadsheet.
Exactly. An AI can transcribe an earnings call and summarize what the CEO promised to do, but it can't hear the defensive tremor in their voice when an analyst asks a tough question about supply chains.
Or sense the toxic organizational culture that is causing high turnover. Those require human integration of nuanced, unquantifiable signals.
Precisely. Now, the second limitation is conviction under drawdown. The AI simply does not feel the psychological agony of losing money.
Oh, I learned that the hard way in 2022. I had a tech stock I believed in, the fundamentals were completely sound, but it dropped 30% in a single month. It was a huge chunk of my net worth.
Mm.
The math said hold, but the knot in my stomach said sell everything just to make the anxiety stop.
Yeah.
An algorithm doesn't have a stomach.
No, it doesn't. A 30% drop on a position that is 2% of your portfolio is an annoyance. That same drop on the position that is 40% of your net worth is life-altering. Conviction under fire is a uniquely human trait.
That makes total sense.
Which ties directly into the third limitation, position sizing. The AI can calculate the mathematically optimal Kelly criterion for sizing a bet, but it doesn't know your life.
It doesn't know I have a mortgage due?
Right, or that your income is irregular this year, or that a certain level of portfolio volatility will literally keep you awake at night. Optimal math is completely useless if it causes you to panic sell at the bottom.
So what's the fourth limitation?
Paradigm shifts. Markets are filled with noise, but occasionally you experience a genuine, unprecedented structural disruption. And this is where the underlying architecture of a large language model actively works against you.
Because these systems are incredibly sophisticated probability engines, right? They are predicting the next word based on the billions of words they were trained on from the past.
Precisely. They rely entirely on historical precedent. So when a truly novel 0-to-1 structural shift occurs, the AI cannot extrapolate it.
So it just guesses based on old data.
Yes. It will actively mislead you by trying to forcefully map this unprecedented event to a historical event that actually has totally different underlying economics. It cannot navigate the truly unknown.
Wow, that's a massive blind spot. What about the fifth limitation?
The fifth is defining your circle of competence. Peter Lynch always preached, invest in what you understand. But the AI has no concept of your personal ignorance.
Oh, I see. It'll just answer whatever you ask.
Exactly. It will happily generate a deeply complex analysis of an early stage biotech firm or a deep sea drilling operation for you. It will never stop and warn you. Based on your previous questions, your understanding of FDA approval phases is way too shallow to be making bets in this sector.
You have to enforce the boundary of your own competence. Nobody else is going to do it for you.
Exactly. And finally, the sixth limitation, the discipline to do nothing. Often, the absolute best move in investing is to sit on your hands and wait for a fat pitch. But an AI is a software program explicitly designed to respond.
So if I log in and prompt the agent just because I'm bored or anxious about the market, it will always give me something to tweak.
Always. A new metric to analyze or a new trade to consider. It cannot tell you to close the laptop and go for a walk. That discipline belongs entirely to you.
When you look at those six limitations, from narrative judgment to the discipline to do nothing, it paints a very clear picture. The AI is essentially the ultimate flight simulator.
I like that.
Yeah, it can run endless scenarios. It can map the weather. It can teach you what every button in the cockpit does. But when real money is on the line, when gravity actually applies, well, you are the one flying the plane.
That is the core paradigm shift right there. You have to stop asking the AI, what should I do? And start asking yourself, what kind of work do I need done right now? But, you know, we have to acknowledge that learning to manage this casting call is messy.
It really is. It feels like a chicken and egg problem. You need domain knowledge to know how to guide the AI, but you are actively using the AI to gain that domain knowledge.
Right. You might ask the red team to attack assumptions about a business model you barely grasp, or you might struggle to give the executor the right parameters for a screen.
And that's okay.
That is entirely normal. You have to embrace a period of what they call conscious incompetence. You will invoke the roles imperfectly at first. But that messy practice interleaving the learning of fundamentals with the actual practice of commanding the AI fleet is exactly how you build the skill.
This has been such an incredible framework to unpack. Before we wrap up, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to mull over. Think about the biggest, most stressful decision you are facing right now in your own life or career, something completely outside of investing.
Good exercise.
If you had to assign that major life decision to an analyst to gather the facts, a red team to attack your logic, a tutor to explain what you don't know, and an executor to map out the steps, which of those four specialists have you been completely ignoring?
Are you just gathering endless facts like an analyst to comfort yourself without ever red teaming your actual plan?
Exactly. Whether you are navigating a career change, buying a house, or deciding if you should buy that semiconductor stock, if you don't know who is doing the work, you haven't earned the right to trust the answer.